Now that we are in the Easter season, I want you to recall all the events that go with Jesus' resurrection, all the times he appeared. Think through them for a moment. What do you notice? Well, let's start out. We're going to start out with the very first one. Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning before it was even light, and she came to the tomb and saw two angels inside. Surprisingly, she's not freaked out by it. I would have been. It'd been a little weird to see two angels just standing there, but nevertheless. And she's weeping and crying. Jesus appears like a gardener. And she said, "Whatever happened, let me take him back." She doesn't notice him. She doesn't know what's going on. She doesn't realize it. She's just distraught. So then Jesus calls her by name, and she's confused. She's overwhelmed. She doesn't know what to do. She's even fearful. And she does as he asked, goes and tells his disciples, who don't believe her. So, not believing her, the second event is they come to the tomb and find two angels. Not freaked out by that, they go inside. They don't notice anything. They don't see anything. They're just as confused. They have no idea what's going on. So, Jesus comes to them again. He comes in the midst of their locked room and speaks to them, "Peace be with you." What are they? Terrified. They're scared. They think they're seeing a ghost. They don't know what to do with the fact of Jesus being back. So he speaks to them again and again and guides them, helps them to see his hands and his feet, has the side, the wound in his side, all these things. And yet they still don't get it. So he comes back a week later and does the same thing. And they still don't quite get it. They don't quite believe. They don't know what they're looking at. So he comes again when they're out fishing because they got bored, I guess, and went fishing. So they're out fishing and they don't catch anything. Jesus appears to them and tells them to fish on the other side of the boat, as if that was going to work. And it does. And they realize the Lord is there. So they jump in the water and swim back to shore. And when they get there, they don't say a word. They don't ask who he is. They don't ask what's going on. They just stay silent. Well, then Jesus appears again to now 5,000 people who don't quite grasp it. The entire resurrection saga is plagued with the same basic problems. They don't understand. They're afraid. They're confused. But we know something changes. So the question is, what changed? And the answer is very simple. The Holy Spirit. Pentecost. That event where the Holy Spirit came upon them and gave them the wisdom they needed, gave them the strength they needed, gave them the courage they needed, it radically changed everything. That event of the Holy Spirit made everything make sense. And now they went from being fearful and afraid and confused to evangelizers. They went from huddled in the upper room to going throughout all the Mediterranean world, spreading the message of Jesus. And they saw it in many signs. And they were so empowered by the Spirit that they were willing to be martyred. All but John died a martyr's death. That shows something of the power of the Spirit. So the question is, where are we? And that's where we need to spend some time. Because Jesus teaches us how to go from being disciples to apostles, being afraid and confused to being inspired by the Spirit and willing to go forth into the world. And it starts with his language. He appears to them like he comes to us and says, "Peace be with you." Now we hear this throughout the Mass, and it's the same idea. Whenever I say it, it's a recognition the Lord is in our midst. He is here, showing the power of the resurrection to you. But we also have a very prominent way in which we emphasize it during the Mass. I say, "Peace be with you," and then you all share a sign of peace. Basically, what's going on is I, through the priest, Jesus, speaking to you, says, "Let go of things. I bring peace. I bring joy. I bring my love to you. You don't have to worry about things. Let them go. I bring peace so that all the darkness and chaos of your world can just go away for a little while. And as I have shown you peace and mercy, so must you show each other," which is the goal of the sign of peace. We don't just greet each other and say, "Hi, and how's it going?" We're reliving. We're making it clear to ourselves what it means to forgive and to be forgiven. What it means to say to each other in our midst, "I'm holding nothing against you. I also want you to live in peace." So we're sharing peace with each other that the power of the resurrection may permeate all of our lives and advance us further to the next part. Because if we really want to understand when Jesus said, "Peace be with you," we have to understand the next part. He breathed on them. Such a weird image, but a very important one. He breathed on them and gave them the Spirit. Just like God breathed over the waters of the Red Sea and they parted. Just like God breathed over the waters of creation and things were made. Just like God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. He breathed into them and he breathed into us. But we must live that, experience it. Here's a very tangible way to experience that. Take a deep breath. It's really that simple. Feeling the cool, clean air come into our lungs and fill them fully is like God coming into the very depth of our body. And then we breathe out, letting it all go. Letting all the things of our life go, that we may just have God and God alone. Just that can help us understand what it means to feel the power of the Spirit. But that's not what the disciples experienced. They had something far more profound. When Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit," he gave them a call, a commission, a challenge, something they ought to do. He sent them. And the same thing for us. The Mass actually teaches us how to go from being disciples to apostles. And it does it in the very same way. We start the Mass as though we're like disciples, hearing Jesus speak, reflecting on his words, recognizing what he did. But then the language shifts. The language actually completely shifts and tells us when we become apostles. And at that moment, the next thing we do is offer the sign of peace. Isn't that fun? The Mass is teaching us these things so that as we become apostles, we are then sent. That sending is critically important. Jesus says to them, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Unfortunately, English does not bear the true meaning of these words. The first word, apostolaken, is when you send a person, like an emissary. So God sent his Son, a person, to be in our midst. God himself stands in our midst. He is the sent one, the apostle, the one who came in our midst that we may know him. But we're not God. And that's why the second word is different. As the Father has sent me as his delegate, as he sent me in a person, so I send you with my word. The second word is to send a message. And so that's who we are. We're the people with a message. We're the people with the word inside us. We're the people inspired by the word to go and spread the word. We're not God. We go into the world with the knowledge of God. We go with his word. We go with his power. We go with his Spirit to become his voice to the world. And that's what the disciples did. And see what they experienced. Once they went, they actually went into the world. They did the same things Jesus did. They cured people. They had mighty signs. They were so powerful that, as we saw from our first reading, even if Peter's shadow touched someone, the shadow itself showed the power of Jesus' resurrection, the power of his healing. This was what they experienced. The same thing for us. By showing God's word to the world, they knew the resurrection was true, and they knew what God had done. If we're struggling with our faith, that's where we need to go as well. So emboldened by the mysteries we celebrate, so enamored by the Easter mysteries that we want to share it with people in simple ways, offering peace, showing forgiveness, helping people by prayer, healing people by laying hands on them. These are things we can do. And by doing them, we invigorate our own faith, like the disciples. We challenge the faith of others by saying, "Look, let me show you something real." And more importantly, we experience the power of the resurrection. Show it to our world, calling people to new life, calling them to peace, calling them to experience the Lord as he appeared to the disciples and appears to all of us.